Blog Talk Radio.
Say something.
Yo.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello. Hello. Well, it's nothing for me to speak into here because I would only be able to speak into the microphone.
Right. You to the people,
right.
Places, and organizations. Hello? That will help you own your
right now.
Success. Coming to you live
here.
Every
so
Tuesday.
You can hear me. So basically, I'm supposed to talk to my
mind so we can see.
I'm assuming, right?
Be good to be.
And cheer up and just go from here. This going on.
Oh, we hear you.
Yeah, very cool.
What's up, what's up, what's up, world? This is Jason Warner of the On The Vision radio show. I got my boy, my brother, my friend, Dr. Kenan Davis of One Institution. We're live together right now.
It's a blessing.
Brother, thank you.
Thank you.
Man, so this special edition of On The Vision Radio, we're going to dive into a couple topics. Education, politics, economics, philanthropy, and how we succeed in all of those factors in Black America.
Wow. How long we got?
We're going to be on here for about an hour, but, you know, that's why you get part two.
We'll make it work.
So, Davis, Dr. Kenan Davis, tell the folks a little bit about you. You know, this kid from Hot Springs, Arkansas, that went to LSU undergrad, ended up around the world, and now is Dr. Kenan Davis.
I'm an old soul, folks. I'm fortunate and I'm privileged. It's an honor just to have the opportunity to talk with you all. Jason and I, we do this quite frequently, almost on a weekly basis. So this may come across as more of a conversation because we're always attempting to build together, to figure out ways that we can contribute our time, our talent, our treasure to make this world better, not only for our children, but our children's children and those that they will live with in the same communities, go to school with, work with, et cetera. So all of these four components that Jason's mentioned, just in terms of education, politics, economics, and philanthropy, they're near and dear to our heart, but these four pillars are so important just to the way we all live our lives. And as we know, those will be the four pillars in which this country and this world either continues to accelerate and move forward or see some type of decline. And hopefully it's the former and not the latter. As Jason mentioned, born and raised Hot Springs, Arkansas, first 17 years of my life had the opportunity to grow a part of a community that's about 40,000 people, a community that's produced presidents such as Bill Clinton, as well as a lot of other great contributors in many facets of society. But more importantly, it produced good people, people who cared about one another, regardless of social class, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religious affiliation. So I was able to take away some things from my youth that didn't necessarily taint me as an adult. And I look forward to really using the momentum that I was able to grab. I'm
going to stop you real quick, Davis.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to stop you. All right, the people want to know that journey, right?
You
so
sure?
You're giving a PR answer.
They want to know the journey?
We both work in PR.
They want to know the
so,
journey.
So, you know, you can give the great picture of Hot Springs, and every community has a great picture. But everyone doesn't have the story like you're saying. Everyone didn't come up from, you know, a two-household family like it's projected. But your story is a little different.
Of course.
Your story is, you know, the son of a 17-year-old mother.
I mean,
now, Dr. Kenan Davis.
He has a point. I mean, so there are things about my struggle that, I would have to have my mother sign off on in terms of when she was willing to let some of the struggle be public, but I will say that, you know, I'm the product of a kid that, you know, my mom was pregnant at 16. She had me when she was 17 in 1976. That was not cool in the South to be a teenage mother. I'm a mama's baby, father's maybe. And for those that don't know what that means that I still don't know who my father is. I still haven't met my father. So you can imagine some of the struggles that come along with having a young teenage parent and an only child without any direct immediate help. Those struggles are economic based, and those things that some of us have had, the basic necessities in life, those are negated. So you can fill in some blanks of some of the things that I did not have growing up my entire childhood. But the one thing I did have was love. And so even though, you know, my mother always said that you didn't have a choice on who your parent was going to be. So it's my job to give you a chance. And so even though we struggled and even though we didn't have, you know, I had hope. I had the audacity to think. I had the audacity to dream. And so these are the things and the reason why I had the opportunity to go to LSU in undergrad. And even though I didn't necessarily continue my athletic career as we had expected to play football and even to potentially play baseball, none of those things really materialized to the way that we thought they would, which was unfortunate. But it helped me to at least find out other passions in life that I had. And I ended up getting a degree in general studies, which is don't ever get a degree in general studies because that means you just get a degree, right? You major in nothing.
But check this out. It showed you could complete a task.
It showed I completed a task with a 2.2 grade point average, 15 W's.
But guess what also? You left LSU. You ended up where?
I ended up with the Chicago Bulls, Jason, because – I'm on the phone one day in the athletic department, where I was working as a student assistant in sports information, and Tony High called looking for a JPEG image of Stromile Swift, and I had the opportunity. I answered the phone because that's what you do when you're a student assistant. You make copies, you answer the phone, you shake hands, you kiss babies, you do whatever they ask you to do. And when Tony High said, "Hey, I'm Tony High with the Chicago Bulls," I immediately thought, that would be a great place to work, right, Tony? Do you guys have any internships or internship opportunities? And Tony said, it's interesting you'd ask. Our intern in the department left yesterday. It's her last day. You can send your information to Sabrina Brewster, the manager of PR. I sent my information to Sabrina. She called me, Kenan. We like your background. You're exactly what we're looking for, except for this internship, we don't pay people to fly them in logistically to come in and interview. And I had Sabrina on the phone, and I immediately, the hustle in me, the hot springs in me, the live without things in me, said, "Sabrina, I'm going to be in Chicago in 3 weeks visiting my uncle. You think I could stop in? Is that too late?" She's like, "You're going to be in Chicago? You can interview. That's perfect. You're great. That's the great. We love that."
See, those are the things that all of us need to know, because that picture of America, when you turn on the TV, is like, well, you just go to school, you work hard, and it'll happen. Life doesn't happen like that.
You don't think so?
Intangibles, because that was the intangible. You saw an opportunity, and you moved forward.
I needed an opportunity, and I took forward.
You took forward. You leaped forward. You said, this is what I have to do to make it. You know, I was a physical therapy major for 3.5 years in undergrad. It changed my major to journalism. I was supposed to graduate. My parents were like, "Hey, what are you doing?" But when I changed to public relations, I had no tangible experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I volunteered. I drove from Tallahassee to Atlanta, slept on my aunt's couch to volunteer. They said there's an opportunity, I'll do it. If I had to eat ramen noodles, I'll do it. If I had to just drink water and choke sandwiches, we'll do it. But you took that opportunity to move forward. And I was one of the youngest directors of a county department in the state of Georgia.
That's why.
You took the opportunity. You picked up the phone. You know, a lot of times when we are on that success path, we pick up the phone and don't move forward. You picked up the phone. You said, "Oh, this is the Chicago Bulls. What can I do to make my next step to the Chicago Bulls?"
I'm not letting them off the phone.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
So, and part of when we talk about success in education and politics and economics and philanthropy, sometimes you have to be bold enough to have the audacity to not let them off the phone, to step into a place that's not comfortable for you, to say, you know what, I can make it too, to not steer away or shy away from the potential opportunities. Because the worst they can say is what?
No, but no means next. No is not fatal.
Absolutely.
No is not. I mean, but see, that's the thing, you know, being an only child, but also being in a situation, some very lower socioeconomic situations throughout my entire childhood, even while I was in Baton Rouge at LSU and going back home and seeing how my mom was living, I never forgot. I never had the ability to escape the situations. So I was always just a matter of going home to help me realize to the extent of what kind of place I came from. So for me, I was the hunger and the drive to get my mom out the hood, the hunger and drive to have a normal, stable home, to have an opportunity to have Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and holiday type of, you know, anything, just a regular night, you know, with normal people. So for me, Jason, I just stay hungry and I stay wanting it more than not having it.
Well, just check this out. I'm going to fast forward a little bit of your story because I want to go back to, but you just said to get your mom out the hood.
I had to get my mom out the hood.
What did you do a couple years ago?
I got my mom out the hood. Now, let my mom tell it. You know, and my mom is a Southern gal, a lovely, beautiful Southern woman. So she still talks in a sense of someone from Hot Springs, Arkansas that still lives there. Black folks stay on one side of town. White folks stay on the other side of town. And when she tells you the story, you know, my son bought me a crib on the white folks' side of town at the end of the cul-de-sac. I was a little nervous and didn't have a couple of good nights' sleep because none of my neighbors looked like me. All my neighbors were like 70 and 80 years old, you know, and it was quiet. The street lights worked. Was no noise. But and it's crazy as that sounds, my mom was uncomfortable being comfortable.
Right.
She was uncomfortable without chaos and noise. Like the quiet was chaos to her.
Man.
Now she loves it, obviously, because she brought us Southern cooking from the hood to the other side of town. So now I'm thinking probably all her neighbors probably going to put her in a wheel because, I mean, she's basically been pseudo fixing them turnip greens and collard greens and sweet potato pies and giblet gravy with cornbread dressing, you know, for the last few years. So they think she's the coolest thing since sliced bread.
So, you know, that's an awesome segue. I want to come back, but she was uncomfortable in comfort, right?
Straight up.
We tend to fail as a community because we're uncomfortable in comfort. Was just having a conversation with some folks and talking about the Give 12 Project. We're going to go in depth about the Give 12 Project. But folks that follow me, I posted, what would you do, entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs, with $25,000 given to you? And everyone was like, what's the catch? They're uncomfortable because that's not their norm.
Well, it's but not our norm. Well, but they're not going into this because psychology is not one of the things. But the psychic of a black person, a person of color in this – well, listen, if you had to fight civil rights, you had to fight for civility.
Right, for humanity.
For humanity. So, I mean, obviously, and it's not going to be a tangent, but I'm giving credence to the plight of why we feel that comfort and discomfort because, oh, what's the catch? Because there's always been a catch. We've always, in this society, right, on this side of society, meaning since 1509, we've had to fight with a catch.
Right.
Oh, you know, I want to have these rights. Well, what's the catch? Well, I'm going to need you to wait, you know, 400 years for the rights. Or, hey, I want to marry somebody that doesn't look like me. Well, you're going to have to wait till 1967 in Loving v. Virginia. Hey, I want to go to school with somebody, you know, that doesn't look like me. Well, you're going to have to wait till 1954 with Brown v. Board. Well, hey, I want to ride on the public transportation with somebody. Well, you're going to have to wait till 1897 with Plessy v. Ferguson. Like I just say, it's always been a catch. So now in 2017, Jason, when you talk about the Give 12 Project, you talk about Own the Vision, you talk about One Institution, you talk about all of these awesome things we're doing in the community, whether it's education, healthcare, government, it doesn't matter. You're smiling because you see I'm starting to warm up to the microphone.
Yeah.
It's a catch for most of us because the condition has always been met with some kind of catch.
Pause.
Nobody's
pause.
Ever said,
pause.
Come into my
pause.
Restaurant,
pause. Pause.
Eat
pause.
My food,
pause.
And it's
David,
never
David,
been
Dr.
a
David.
Catch.
Pause. We're going to do something real quick. We're going to try this out. We're going to go live on Facebook. We're live on the radio. So we're going to, it's a duality approach so folks can interact in different places. So we live, Dr. Keenan Davis.
How you doing?
And Jason Warner. We're live on the Vision Radio and Facebook Live at the same time with Dr. Keenan Davis, one institution, who was just talking about his journey from Hot Springs, Arkansas to LSU to the Chicago Bulls. We kind of went off on a quick tangent, but now we're going to talk about you went from the Chicago Bulls to the NFL. You went from the NFL to the
All-American Football
League. All-American Football League, the commissioner of a football league. This is the kid with, what, you said 2 points off in undergrad?
2.28.
15
W's.
15 W's.
2.7 high school.
Then
GPA.
You went on to a master's program.
Master program, Regis University, Denver, organization
right.
leadership.
Right. Then
4.0.
Hey, see how things shift?
We got right.
You see how things shift?
I got right.
You went from there to?
Northeastern.
And a PhD program in?
Law and policy.
Right.
3.78 to be exact.
Right.
Not that it matters when you get your doctorate because no one's really looking at that transcript.
Right.
But if the pundits want to know, we still kept it above, you know,
right.
a 3.78. So.
Well, and so here's the thing. It's about making that change and not staying in that process. I talk about this all the time because my dad says this. He talks about how when you're going through a storm,
mm-hmm.
you got to go through to get to. You have to go through to get to. If it's raining and we just stand in that rainstorm, we can wait out the rain or we can walk through. Jay-Z talks about, you know, I just catch a flight when it's a rainstorm to change the forecast. So we have to change the forecast.
Your pops has a set of discernment, and the skill is that awareness of what you do when precipitation comes. As a person that's lived in New York, lived in Chicago, lived in Boston, you know, lived in Denver, some cold weather places, now live in Portland, which is, you know, rainy, not really severe cold weather, but has, you know, a heavy amount of rain, consistent amount of rain. Like, so I understand with different types of precipitation how I need to prepare myself. I know what kind of clothes I need, what I need, a raincoat, I need a hat, I need multiple layers, I need gloves, I need thermals, right? Like, so if that kind of precipitation happens, Jason,
you have to.
I know how to act when it happens. I know how to condition myself. So for us, whether it's people of color, it's people that are marginalized, there are people which come from challenging socioeconomic backgrounds, regardless of color, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religion, regardless of all these other check boxes that
right.
somebody's made up. The awareness of what you do when you get into that situation, that's the key. That's really what it comes down to, is having the awareness of what we don't teach. We can teach survival skills, but
right.
if we don't teach awareness, how are you going to be able to apply those skills?
Most definitely. So let's get into it, right? We're talking about owning the vision of success, connecting with one institution, the think tank that you founded, right? We talk about education. Everyone talks about how education is important. But what education, right? Because that book, Miseducation of the Negro, talks about how we've been miseducated, and we don't know how to actually navigate. A lot of times we're playing checkers, but when the actual game is chess. We go to, at the end of the day, if you grew up in a public school in the United States, you are conditioned to think that slavery wasn't that bad.
Actually, the game, I love the analogy, chess checkers.
Right.
Really, the game is probably more akin to life.
Right.
Right, the actual board game,
Bradley's
life. And to your point about education and being miseducated, I think this year of this awakening, right now I think the people of color are, you know, you have this saying, this hashtag, stay woke.
Right.
Which is cool, it sounds great, but at the end of the day, like, most of us don't know who we are.
Right.
I mean, first off, my last name is Davis. Right. My last name really isn't Davis.
I had this conversation.
Your last name isn't Warner.
And the funny thing is, I had this conversation with some coworkers of mine that don't look like me. And we had I think they were talking about Black History Month and the need for it. And I just said, hey, I don't really know who I am. Like, you can trace your heritage back to, oh, my grandmother's grandmother was this, that, and the third. My last name is Warner.
Your last
ain't
name
no,
is
Warner? It's not Warner. Like, where did it come from? The plantation owner's name was Warner,
right.
And that's the name that
that's the name you're given. Now, well, what I can tell you about your ancestors, because I can tell you, the awareness.
Right.
This thing comes back 365 like a boomerang, 360 degrees like a boomerang. The thing about what we do know is that only 30% of the people who were traveling, your ancestors, so your great-great-grandfather was a slave, and great-great, you're only two greats removed. So people talk about this a long time. I kind of give this a story. My great-grandmother, Iola Jacobs, rest up, she passed away when I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
She lived to 94. So in 2000, she passed away.
Right.
I had her for 24 years of my life.
Right.
So keep that in perspective. I had my great-grandmother who was born literally in 1906. So her parents were born in the 1840s and 1850s.
Right.
They were slaves.
Right.
So I was directly influenced by the child of a slave for majority
of
my life.
Exactly.
So when you tell me slavery was a long time ago, not in the sense of how generations work.
Right.
Not long. So what we know about your and my heritage is that 3 out of 10 people didn't survive the Middle Passage.
Right.
Those boat rides were hellacious.
Right.
So we know you got survival in your blood, your
gene
pool, as well as I do. We know they were in West Africa, and we know in the 14th century, when we came over in the 15th century, we know in the 14th century, that was the richest part of the world.
Right.
Because King Mansa Musa was the richest man of all time, still valued at $400 billion.
Right.
Still to this day, the richest man was a black Muslim king, King Mansa Musa, at $400 billion, and that's where the slaves came from. So we know our gene pool, whether you're religious or not, were Muslim mostly at the time and rich until they got raided by the Renaissance period from Europe, which happened in this revamping, which is another conversation you'll get me on my next trip to Atlanta when we have another Facebook Live.
So let me ask you this. Do we focus on writing curriculum in schools, because they're talking about with our new Secretary of Education, schools of choice and voucher programs and this, that. How do we capitalize on what that looks like? You know, privatizing school system, we're failing schools. Do we come up with curriculum to feed our community, to empower our community? Because we're going to talk about education, politics, economics, philanthropy, but do we write that curriculum? Do we use what they thought was going to be a bad situation and turn it into an amazing situation? Because now we can create that charter school in our community that really does the work and educates our community.
At what point, so we're only talking about black people right now?
Right now, yeah.
That's fine. At what point do we as black people, right?
Right.
The collective 44 million,
right,
say, admit, which I admit, we are behind the rest of our country in terms of, you know, academic achievement, economic empowerment, you know, stability, all of these kind of, you know, these key factors, right? We're behind. We won't say why, but we are.
Right.
So cool. Who's ahead?
Right.
So for me, I'm looking at who's winning.
Right.
What are the people that are winning doing?
Hey.
Guess what's happening right now? You have guys that are on the AAU circuit in sports background, so I love sports analogies. You have guys like LeBron and Brady, who are at the top of professional sports.
Right.
They are all chasing, the AAU circuit's chasing LeBron. The Elite 11 quarterback prospects that come out every year are chasing Brady.
Right.
Brady's chasing Montana and his own ghost now.
Right.
LeBron's chasing Jordan and his own ghost right now. Like, they're looking, the great, the people who want to be better than what they are and the best that they can be, they look at who set the bar, and they go try to take down that bar based on what those people are doing.
Right.
So for black people, at some point, we look at every other ethnicity that's winning.
And that's what we did with on the Vision Foundation.
We look, you look
we
at.
Look, we look at why they're winning. Not why we're failing, but why they are winning. Because I can't keep going over why we fail.
Exactly.
But I can follow the blueprint of success.
Talk to me.
I can go into a Jewish community right now, and guess what? The schools are teaching Jewish culture, heritage, everything, as well as academics. We go into an Asian community right now. They're pushing STEM. They're pushing academics and a knowledge of self.
And I can tell you what both of those communities are not accepting. Mediocrity. I know for a fact, not one of those communities accept mediocrity. You might not eat for 6 months if you bring home a B.
Hey.
Seriously, you might, there's no Jordans. You're not getting your little kids Air Force Ones and Jordans. You're not getting your kids the latest polos, all that stuff. In those communities, they're not even tripping on that. Like that stuff, if you want to supply yourselves with certain kinds of tangible, depreciating assets,
right?
You do that when you're a doctor, you're an engineer, you're a lawyer, you're a surgeon, you're a business owner. You don't do that while you're living under my roof.
So, you know, the funny thing is, and I use you as an example for a lot of things.
That's a bad thing.
No, man. When I went to your wedding. So, guys, this dude comes rappelling out of the ceiling of the Civic Center. This is the reception. He's floating flowers around and rappelling out of the ceiling. So I told Zara, like, listen, babe. I'm not rappelling out the ceiling.
Right.
You know, maybe I'll find an elephant or something I can hop on.
I wanted to do elephant, but you got to clean up the stuff.
Right.
You got to get city board.
Right. But what I did find out, because Dr. Keenan Davis is not the only doctor in his family. His wife is the first doctor. Fair and sane.
Actually, that's interesting, right? Because family. I mean, so
well, I'm talking about your.
Great segue.
Right.
Farrah's grandmother,
right.
Her grandmother, was the first Muslim doctor in British India.
Wow.
First one, female, ever.
Wow.
In the whole country.
What I'm trying to get at in that, oh man, hold on. Hold this.
I've never done much of this before.
We were trying to, everybody.
This is new. Listen, so I hide behind the keyboard. I type a lot, and that's okay. But Jason is a good friend of mine. We're visiting Atlanta and had an opportunity. He asked us to do this conversation. He asked us just to do what we always do on a regular basis. And so here we are having this conversation. So thank you for having me.
All right, we're back. I'm sorry. I had to. We're live also on the radio show, too.
I don't even know what I'm live on.
Yeah,
I would have dressed better for the occasion. Like,
hey,
seriously, listen, you don't wear hats indoors. I got on a brim.
Hey,
I'm probably
going
to take my hat off, but I got on a brim,
I got on
a white hoodie. I mean, seriously.
Things change.
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
How it should be.
But what I saw was, at that wedding, your wife's side of the family, and she was born in Pakistan.
Well, my wife was born in the country.
Father was born in Pakistan.
Absolutely.
Every person. A doctor, a lawyer, a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, or something. And it was like, man, if I just do PR and marketing, like, am I being accepted?
Man, y'all really want me? Like, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
No, seriously, her brother, engineer,
right.
Shout out, wife, you know, surgeon, her father, PhD, University of Chicago, math here. College math chair for 35 years, math chair, mathematics. I mean, everybody believes in education. You know why? Because they're in a third world country. Even though we have third world pockets in
right.
our country,
right.
and I believe we have third world
Almost
pockets.
Definitely.
I know for a fact.
Hey, you just rolled out one today.
So, and I wasn't even going to talk about this because it might bring me to a place, but I've been comfortable enough. If I share this here, it won't be held against me. I was visiting my lady who helped me in this world, my grandfather's longtime, you know, mate.
Right.
She's very ill in assisted living in South Atlanta. And I, part of my trip was to go see her, tell her I love her.
Right.
I had to. I had, even though she's, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, nothing
right.
really, she doesn't know anybody. I had to look at her, put my face on her face, and kiss her and say, look, I love you. I
right.
needed you.
Right.
And you helped me get to this place.
Right.
You may have prayed that one day, because she didn't even know from Hot Springs what this place might look like.
Right.
She never knew doctors. She never knew lawyers. She never knew what, you know, certain salaries and occupations look like.
And that's why it's so important that we expose people to that. Because think
she
about
deposited
it. She deposited
in me.
And
when
so
I,
you can go back and do what you're doing right now.
It's what we're doing right now. So when I left that place, I was emotional, but it was inside of me. So it wasn't external, but it was a good feeling that I had did the right thing the right way for the right reason.
Right.
Well, it's surrounded by projects, Jason. And I'm not talking about projects. I'm talking about, see, projects, it's certain projects that are thriving. Look.
Right.
These projects, is every one of them boarded up.
Right.
So this is the worst of the worst of the projects. And I saw a three-year-old girl. I got a 14-month-old baby, Parsa. And I saw a three-year-old, might have been 2.5, 3 years. She's walking. She's alone. There's nobody in sight in the project, Jason. Nobody in sight. They got a three-year-old girl walking. And all I could think about is that nobody in this area, for the most part, has a chance, brother.
Right.
Has a chance at life. Like doing Facebook Live. Like, they trying to do electricity live.
See, this is it. So we take those folks here and these folks here in the radio, right, and engage them into the process. Because we can't say we just made it. We can't say that, oh, well, I got out of my situation. We have to say that I got out, and we bring as many people with me.
I pulled over and broke down.
Hey.
My wife asked me, do I need a hug? I shook her off, you know, like just waved back, shook her off. I'm good. I need to get this out. I need to feel like this because I need to be hungry.
Right.
Because there are going to be times over the next, you know, over this lifetime where I'm going to need to that's a deposit I made today.
Right.
And I'm going to have to withdraw
right.
those emotions and those feelings to get down again with my community, to get down again with my family, get down again for this society.
Most definitely. I mean, the biggest part about this, right? So we're talking about exposure. We're talking about, you know, being live. But we're connecting with the people to change their mindset of stop doing the things that they used to do. You know, to change those projects, in Atlanta alone is 1.7 million black folks. We launched the Own the Vision Foundation with the goal of everyone donating $1 a month. $1.7 million, we could change that tomorrow.
We could change the world. Jason, you know, it's
44 million plus black folks, we can fix all the pipes in Flint. Tomorrow, you posted $24 million raised by the ACLU in 72 hours.
72 hours. They went and got it.
They went and got the money. And guess what? For volunteer attorneys.
You know why? Because they believed.
Right. We
and
have to have the audacity to believe we can change our own situation. We're not going to wait on someone else to change our education, to create politics for us, to speak to us, to change our economic situation. No one else talks about their buying and spending power. We just need to change that $1.3 trillion from buying power to ownership and leverage.
No one is coming to save us.
No one.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but
that's not the bearer of bad news. God says God helps those who help themselves. So everyone waiting for the Savior to hop out of the sky, that's not going to happen. You have to do the work. You have to invest in yourself, and every successful community around the country, around the globe, is investing in yourself in education. They invest in themselves in politics. They invest in themselves in economics, and they invest in themselves in philanthropy. We just sit there and watch and wait. But I'm so excited to be able to have brothers like you walking in step because you understand, and you could go through that moment.
I want my daughter to have a world that we didn't have.
Right.
I mean, I'm not, and it's not about grim. I won't talk about politics a lot because politics is sensitive. And you, as you know, I'm a moderate.
Right.
I'm as centrist as you
can.
It could possibly be. But to the extent of where our community is right now, and to the extent of how important this current social climate is for everybody that's going through the motions, wherever you are, big city, small city, little town, it doesn't matter. Like, we're all feeling some level of discomfort. We're all, whether it's with each other or it's with the establishment, nobody's comfortable. Nobody's happy. Even the 1% I hear are uncomfortable because they can't even really do and move the way that they would like to navigate through society. So I think, Jason, I think what's important is that for us to not feel dismayed that we don't have black leaders.
Right.
Because we don't. We've had really strong black leaders killed.
Right.
Garvey. Talk about brilliant. Malcolm. Right? Rest up. Martin. Rest up. Like, we've had some strong, vocal, transcendent leaders come through our pipeline, and we haven't regenerated that same leadership, right? So here it is. Here we are, brothers like you and I, who I'm not a leader of a cause. I'm a leader of me, and I'm a leader of my thought process, and I want to share.
But you're a leader of change.
I want to share my thought process.
You have the audacity to believe it can change. You didn't just.
I know it can change. You know where I come from? Anybody that ever been to 520 Games in Hot Springs, Arkansas, they ever been to that house, and they know that that's what I came out of? People don't come out of that house.
Right.
They don't come from that. You,
so it, you it, have the audacity to believe and know it. You know it from your soul. You know it that, hey, I'm not just going to come out, but I'm going to bring up with me. Like, you could have.
I knew I wasn't dying like
right,
that.
Right.
No,
okay.
Seriously.
You
that's what came down to
you.
I'm not going to die like
that. You could have got a PhD in law policy studies and said, you know what, I'm going to go teach at Georgetown Law, Harvard Law.
I mean, I do teach at Northeastern, so it's not like don't just crap over.
No, listen to me. And said, you know what, I forget about my community. But what you did is.
Who does that?
A lot of people do. Because, again, it's that one step out, I made it, man, I got to breathe. Man, I'm going to tell you, this work is not easy.
You know what's happened to me in the last 2 years?
The time, the sacrifice for family, for friends, for everything that, you know, people see as the quote-unquote living the life.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but you go through and you push through because you know it's bigger than just you and I.
You know what I had to do last 2 years? I had to fall in love with black people all over again. I had to literally fall in love with black people because psychologically we were always kind of pitted against each other.
Right.
So psychologically,
well, you're used to hang out with me.
Oh yeah, and I'm undergrad at LSU, so it's brown paper bag. It just depended on what side of campus I was on. If I was on the right side of the paper bag or not. If it's shade, if it's sun, then I'm good. If it's shade, it's bad. Right.
Right.
So I need to be in the sun just to make sure I was on the good side of that paper bag. Because they don't play still to this day. You know, I love my people, but you know, that's just what it is. But I had to fall in love with us again because
right.
I had became, specifically when I was in Atlanta, right?
Right?
I'm looking around, I'm living, and I'm seeing people buy cars and rent houses.
Right.
I'm watching the lease cars on the weekend.
Right.
Lease a car on the weekend. I'm sitting
in the pop bottles that live in, on an air mattress on the floor.
But I found myself basically talking against this lifestyle and not understanding that this isn't a condition that someone was, you know, developed on their own.
That they wanted to. It's,
you didn't want that.
Right. It's your condition.
It's cyclic.
It's cyclical. It continues. And I tell people to if you haven't seen Dr. Joy DeGruy's book, The Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, read it, looked at her video on YouTube, just Dr. Joy DeGruy, she talks about it and talks about the trauma that becomes cyclical for centuries. Because it's never been addressed. And if you don't address it, you have those same symptoms, but they reveal themselves differently. The one that sticks out the most is how she talks about if you ever go to a school and see a black mother and a white mother,
mm-hmm.
You go to that white mother and say, oh, little Johnny's doing so great. That white mother says, thank you. You go to the black mother, oh, little Jason's, you know, he's doing so great. Well, you know, we got to work with him, man. We got to push him a little harder. He can do a little better. You know, it's not that he relaxes in science and he just needs to work hard. Why couldn't she just say thank you? What does that little boy hear? My mom doesn't think I'm good enough. But where does that come from? It comes from her great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother.
Slave.
That when you said little Keenan, he getting real strong and kind of smart. Oh, no, 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 he's lame, he's limp. Because that mother didn't want you to be sold. That mother didn't want her daughter to be bred. But when you don't address the trauma, it comes out years later, my mama really doesn't love me. And the only one that accepts me, that oppressed me.
You know what suppresses the trauma? You know what addresses the pain?
What's that?
Winning.
Yeah.
Ask Brady. Brady lost. I'm not a Patriots fan.
Right.
Brady lost 2 Super Bowls to Eli.
Right.
Right? Guess what suppressed the pain of those 2 losses?
He won.
He won. LeBron has lost 3 chips, 4 chips.
Right.
Guess what? 2 and 3, 2 and 4?
3 and 4? Right.
3 and 3?
Something like that.
Point is, LeBron has lost multiple chips. Guess what suppresses that pain?
Ring rings.
Exactly. Winning comforts all ills.
Right.
So for us, again, specifically black people, if we are willing to win, we will get past the psychological pain that has been placed on us for the past 400 years.
So I'm going to tell you a couple ways you have to win.
Somebody got to ask yourself every day. You know what I ask myself? Do you want to win?
Right.
You got to ask yourself, do I want to win today? Because winners win, and you figure out when you went to Chicago Bulls and you're doing a year internship and you're making $900 a month, you're bringing home $450 every 2 weeks, and your rent costs $450, so you're living off $450 a month, which is $112.50 a week, and you still got to have gas and you still got to have, live.
Right.
You know what you say? You make as many conversations as you can make while you're there. You meet as many people as you can meet, and you get on the phone with Janine Hunt with the NFL, and she says, hey, Keenan, we got a job in PR, but we don't fly people out for entry level. And you know what you say when she say that?
I'm on the way.
Janine, I'm visiting my Uncle Thomas in 3 weeks. Is that too long to miss this interview process? Same thing you do when you're at Baton Rouge trying to get to the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Or when you're in New York and you've worked 7 years with the NFL league office and you've gotten promoted a couple of times and you hear a new football league is starting out. And you tell your boy who's trying to be a sports agent to call the owner of the league and tell him you represent an NFL executive, and you get on the phone with them, and you go become the commissioner of the league at 30.
You do what you do.
You do what you got to do to win, Jason.
And we have to do what we have to do to win.
I'm not special. Anybody that knows me, no, seriously, you know me.
Right.
Everybody, I am a person, honestly. And I mean this with all humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less.
Right.
So I don't think less of myself. I'm just not thinking of myself as much as I used
Absolutely.
To, Jason. And I can sit here and tell you, all I want to do is win. And for me, winning ain't about me.
It's
winning,
about the collective.
Man, talk about me
it's
with
about
the collective.
It's about the collective. We have to invest in education.
Before Fair and I bought our house, we bought my mama a house. We were still renting when my mama owned her house.
Right.
That's winning.
Always. We have to invest in our education. We have to invest in our economics. We have to invest in our politics. I sent you that post the other day. 6+ million voted for Hillary. 66+ million voted for Trump.
Now 71 million.
71 million care. But
now
71 million people didn't vote. So guess what? If you don't like Democrats or Republicans, this is the next topic, and we're about to run out of time on the air. It could be a third.
Are we gonna lose people online if I tell them how I truly feel about politics?
We're not gonna lose people. We're gonna close out the radio.
Am I gonna lose you as a friend?
Oh, of course not. Never that. It's about perspective. Like, we're not gonna agree on everything.
That's for sure. But that's how you get stronger.
Before we get off the radio show.
Yes, sir.
I need you to tell them one thing. How can they follow you? Find you on One Institution.
OneInstitution.com, Twitter, @OneInstitution, Facebook, Keenan Davis. I'm sure it's a few, but you'll see it's one that.
Dude in the suit.
Okay. Which I probably would have done if I'd have known.
Dude in the suit.
But this is a conversation and this is casual.
Right. So, hey, follow Davis. Do what you have to do. to engage with one institution because we're collaborating. We're making things work. We're not finished on live. I got a cut off of the show. We off. We had that 45 minutes on the radio show. It'll be back on the throw it on the Vision page, as well as on the website, so you can hear past episodes. Hold on one second. Talk to him for a second, real quick, because we're gonna finish this conversation.